Hello, everyone. It's the Three Wise Men. I'm Nate Garlock, joined by Nate Garlock, joined by Nate Garlock. Go Spartan lacrosse.
I'm bald
and beautiful.
That's it. This is officially the last show of the season. We're done.
Where's my green plaid shirt?
People are always wondering if shows know when they jump the shark.
This is it.
This is the jump the shark episode.
We have officially jumped the shark.
It looks horrible. It's so bad. I'm not even mad about it. Those are the worst bald caps.
Is it the great bald shark?
Those are the worst bald caps I've
ever
seen.
You guys
look like if I ordered Dr. Evil from Timu. It's the worst.
We're done. Megan, you want to come get these from her for us then?
Yeah. We're done.
We could be twins.
Everybody wants to look like Nate.
Look at the camera.
Oh my gosh.
We're not twins.
Yes.
We're not twins. All right, Megan, here we go. Nate doesn't think it looks good.
Oh my gosh. Does my hair still look good, Megan?
Oh, perfect.
Amazing. I mean, the crowd's still out there.
Yeah. Maybe next year we just shave it.
I was like, can we get on with the show?
Yeah. On with the show. This is bald.
Hit the lights. No more rehearsing. Okay. All right. Let's do this, guys. Guys, it's the last show of the season.
Oh, man. Thank goodness.
No.
I cannot continue to take this type of torture.
Episode 36.
I want to tell you guys this. I've missed a couple, too. Miles has missed
a ton.
Yeah. You went on a date or something, right?
I missed two.
Yeah. In all seriousness, this has been an absolute blast. To work with you two and to cut up and to kid and to just get to spend time with you guys, I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for being on my show.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew that's what I knew.
I almost finished it for him just to steal all the thunder because I knew that's what he was going to say.
Well, I was going to say, I agree with you, Danny. It has been great working with Nate.
Nah, guys, look.
Somebody has to lift this show.
We're all pretty newbies in broadcasting, radio, and TV. This has been about as fun a time as I've had ever in broadcasting.
Yeah, I didn't know it was supposed to be this fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And thanks to Nick and Megan and Kelsey.
Yeah. But here's the thing. They said, you guys want to do a few shows? Wow. We went from August to May. Yeah.
I'm excited about season two now.
Well, the money's been incredible. Oh. It's just been – they're backing the truck up, throwing it at me.
Yeah. Three wise men money. It's crazy.
That's how it'll be referred to in the business from now on.
Three wise men money. When they pulled that truck up of frankincense and myrrh, I was like, oh yeah.
Hey, you guys like muffins? Because that's what you get.
They were good, though.
They were fantastic. Guys, let's talk about the Diamond Dave Bowen. Best thing we saw all week. Nate, let's start with you for the last broadcast of the season.
All right. Couple of things. One, listen, I got to, you know, we talked yesterday, or we're coming off of Mother's Day weekend. Yesterday on Mother's Day, last night, went over to Fort Wayne, saw a comedian, Nate Bargatze.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my wife had a chance to go and watch it. That was a lot of fun. So just, you know, something non-sports related here as we're heading into summer, but, you know, we get to kind of get back to some normal life type stuff. Cool. And that was one of the things that was fun. But back to the sports. I don't know how we miss this, fellas. Coldwater Senior Izzy Zahn. And it wasn't this week, but the race wasn't, mm-hmm. but I saw the results this week. She was at the Wayne Invitational on May 2nd, and she already holds the state record in the 200 meters. She set the state record in the 400 meters as well. She ran 54.34 to win that event, set a new state record. She's going off to Iowa. She's going to continue her running career there collegially. She is a fantastic runner. That is a blazing speed. And to run that now, I mean, you guys know we've been around sports and track long enough. She's running a 54 in the first weekend of May. Wait till the first weekend of June.
We missed her. She was supposed to run against New Bremen at the Invitational.
She was at Dwayne. Yeah, she was at Dwayne. Yeah. And Nate, you've coached enough track. I think she's going to be a multi-athlete at Iowa. I think she's that good.
Yeah, I think when you're running those types of times in the two and the four, mm-hmm. which are very different races.
Right. They are.
You know, and you're setting the state records in those. You obviously have that ability. She'll do great things over in Iowa. So it'll be fun to kind of track.
A lot of fun to talk to, too. She's a great person.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to track her and watch her. So congratulations to her. I saw that record. I thought that was fantastic. And finally, with it being the last show of the year. I can't get out of here without giving a little love to somebody who has caught a ton of heat this year, all the way back into September.
It's not necessary.
I gotta give my kid, Michael Garlock, a little bit of love here, okay? He has caught so much flack.
A lot of strays
from Miles, who likes to bully children.
Yeah.
Bully children.
He's like that guy on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang that drove the cart around that captured the kids.
Everybody knows that reference.
Yeah.
So I gotta give him some love here. Yeah. You know, we've caught a lot of strays. You know, we've called him slow. You know, we made him race. We've drug him through the
mud.
We haven't done any of that. One guy in blue. Called him nothing.
But he's been a baseball player his whole life. You know, as most people know, if you've been watching the show, he's going to go play football collegiately at Mount St. Joe.
Right.
So he forgoed baseball this year to get into track, to get himself into shape, to, you know, so he, when he hit summer workouts, he'd be a little bit ahead of the game. So he's been doing track. First year he's been doing track, not running, you know, hundreds or 200s. The kid came out, he picked up hurdles. He's been running the 300 hurdles. He's worked his way up. You know, he wasn't even on the invitational roster. Now he's running times that put him, you know, he's number one for the 300 hurdles for those guys. He's currently seated seventh at WBLs. Going to be running those later this week. So he's doing a he's doing really good on the track. It's been a lot of fun to watch him do that. Speed's been coming. He's a lot faster than he was back in the fall. So we've given him a lot of static for his speed. But as the final show of the year, I'm proud to report he is much faster than when he came in here and proudly stated he ran a 4.9.
Yes.
That's
funny.
At least he learned not to tell people that, right? Yeah. It was amazing when we ran the slow-footed 40 how he needed to have the 4.75, and it stopped right at 4.74.
Listen,
that was amazing.
Sometimes
Leo was an incredible timer.
Yeah, listen, sometimes destiny just finds us.
My best things I saw all week, Mother's Day. I mean, what a special day it is for moms around the world. I think Major League Baseball does a great job of promoting how important moms are for that special day. The PCL Championship, Danny and I were there at Ottaville. Shout out to our good buddy Jim Brown over there, did a great job on the PA. But talk about running a track meet so efficiently. Unbelievable. Yeah. We were out of there, 8:26 it ended? It was so fast. They did a great job with the hurdles. And then going over to Millie's afterwards, and our good friend Tony Quach.
How'd you even get out of Millie's with Danny?
It was tough.
There was a lot of people wanting to, you know, pictures and autographs.
Tony Quach. That guy was a celebrity in Ottaville, man. People wanted to get pictures of him. It was amazing. And then Defiance Baseball, we talk about them every week, right? Still undefeated. All they did last week was knock off undefeated Perrysburg, knock off Jonathan Elder, a tremendous program. And then what are they doing this week? Well, they're going to Fifth Third Field in Toledo, and they're going to play another top-tier program, St. John's. Defiance Baseball, they don't back away from anybody.
Yeah, they're amazing. Again, I'm going to piggyback on that. Ottaville did a great job. And big shout out to Paige Turnwald, who we became friends with.
Yeah, Paige is
awesome.
It
was funny. Paige was giving us all the results in the booth, and she comes up to us and she goes, "Just to let you know, my dad watches the Three Wise Men all the time." I don't, but he does.
So like that's more demographic.
We're like, yeah, we got your dad. Yeah, so we appreciate her. She did a fantastic job. But best thing I saw, Lex Schneider over at Wapakoneta, the freshman, a home run, two doubles, and five RBIs against Bath. This year, she's hitting .380, three home runs, five doubles, two triples, and 24 RBIs.
Wow.
She's a freshman. What a career she's going to have at Wapakoneta. But she's the best thing I saw this week in high school sports. So. Gentlemen, it's interview time, and we've got a couple of really good ones. We've got a legend and a soon-to-be legend in Kenny Stabler and Brady Stabler. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's just start off. I want to know how this whole thing started with you. I remember the first time I ever met you, and you don't remember it, I'm sure. I was at Crestview High School, and it was probably 5 or 6 years ago. It's when they used to feed us, you know, before COVID and everything. And
right.
You were sitting in a back room, and I just kept thinking, that's Kenny Stabler over there. I can't believe this. That's Kenny Stabler. But I walked up and said hi to you, and you were gracious and said hi, so I appreciate that.
It's a great story, Danny.
Just trying to get in good graces here. It's episode 37. I got nothing else.
It's weird how things have turned out, too, because now if you walk the room and you don't recognize Danny,
he makes sure.
Danny, you know who I am, right?
Yeah. Oh, I've blown Kenny and Brady off. Yeah, how'd this whole thing get started?
Well,
this whole career.
You're throwing the word legend around pretty loosely, by the way. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Just doing something I love for a long time. I was 22 years old.
Wow.
I've always been crazy about sports. I did some PA announcing in high school. I did some call-in reports for a Defiance radio station, WONW. That was a big thing because when they covered your game up north, there was a six-county area they covered, and obviously they couldn't be, you know, at 10 places at once. They covered one game, and it was a big deal. So they had all these what they called stringers or whatever, reporters for all the other schools or many of the schools in Northwest Ohio. And you would call in to the station. Their format was country music, but in between songs, they would, okay, let's do the Wayne Trace Report. It's brought to you by XYZ Company. Here's Kenny Stabler. And I would do like a two-minute wrap-up of what happened the first half. We take a commercial, 60 seconds, come back, do the second half. And I did that my sophomore, junior, and senior years in high school, and it was a great experience for me. Also, WERT Radio in Van Wert, which, of course, is my affiliation now, WKSD, the FM side. I was a weekend disc jockey, and I was a board operator for sports.
Oh, wow.
I love sports. I always wanted to be the guy sitting courtside calling the games.
Right.
But I was the guy back at the studio. Well, when I was 22 years old, after going to Bowling Green, they approached me about coming. This was November of 1990. I mean, we were into basketball, or December. It was the 89-90 basketball season, and they cut the guy that was doing the games. It was a younger guy. They were having some issues with him. I won't go into all the details.
Right.
But they pull me in on a Monday morning, and they said, would you be interested in doing play-by-play on our station? And I'm like, yeah, I would, but I'm not really sure I'm your guy. I don't have any experience. I was the guy back at the station playing the commercials while Bob Patterson and Jack Snyder and those guys were out calling the games, which I loved. I enjoyed doing that, but I don't have any experience. This is a true story. They said, do you know the difference between man-to-man and zone defense? I said, yes, I do.
That's a great interview.
Yeah. They said, the equipment and your color commentator will be at Crestview Friday night.
Fantastic.
So there I go to Crestview to call my first game, and you guys are familiar with the Ray Etzler Gymnasium.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we sit down at midcourt behind the scorer's table now, but back then there's a classroom up there, up on the far side, up above the buckets, and you know, the garage door, the overhead door thing pulls up, and you're looking down, and you can't even see the entire court. You got to kind of reach out to see. But there I was calling Fort Jennings and Crestview. Didn't really know what I was doing. I tell everybody I felt like I was an air traffic controller or something. I could just feel the sweat beading up on my face. But I called that game. And I've been doing it for 36 years.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's a great story.
That's a story.
So what is the difference between man and zone?
What's that?
What is the difference between man and zone?
He doesn't know. He
doesn't know.
He lied.
Brady, the first time I ever heard you was on Miles' show, Out of Bounds, and he said, I said, who we got today? Because I was doing the show with him. He said, we got Brady Stabler. And I said, who is it? And he said, you'll just love him. And I remember when you came on there, and how impressed I was with you, and the way you handled yourself. And I told Miles, I said, that kid's really good. And I call you a kid because I'm a lot older than you.
And then he said, can I steal him?
Yeah, I did. I did. I said, can I get him on my show? And so we've talked a lot. But congratulations on everything you're doing, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. How did it all start for you? I mean, other than working with Dad.
Well, I mean, I don't know any better. So all I've ever known is going to the games, you know. So, I mean, I've been around it really when I was like 5 years old was when I started like having like an interest in sports. And like my family tells stories, like, disclaimer, you guys already know this, but I wasn't wired right as a kid. Like, I'm still not. Like, my family tells stories about me like writing down, like copying, having a printed off like Ohio State football roster writing it down. And they're like, hey, you're like punishing this kid? And it's like, no, it's what he does for fun.
So, we talk about that stuff all the time. We're all the same way, crying after games and having, you know, keeping score and stats.
We're talking
and
about
all
this
that.
Past year.
Yeah, I do that. I still do that to this day. Yeah.
But yeah, so I just always went to games with Dad. You know, it was my thing. I'd go to school, and then if he had a Thursday night game, Friday night game, Saturday, I just got in the van and went with Dad to whatever game he was doing. And I started keeping, you know, he had a color guy, but I would keep a book like on my own, sit behind him, go and talk to coaches before games with him, after games, you know, and just being around it. But Dad always did football solo on the radio.
Oh,
I would go with him, and I would keep like rushing or pass. I think I did passing stats, and he did like rushing stats and all that other stuff. So one night we're over at Paulding. It's like probably week three or four of the football season. And I always knew that Dad kept a microphone in his bag because he, you know, for interviews and that sort of thing. And I said, "Hey, you got that extra mic?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, I think I'll go on with you tonight.
Oh,
and he's like, "Okay." So he plugged it in, and I just like started. I just started doing the broadcast with him. I just started as his color guy. And I remember my mom sending me a text as soon as I started. She's like, "Sounds good, Brady. Try not to say and yeah too much." Just like, yeah, I've always remembered that. And then just from there, I just started doing games. So I did games with him. Football, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And then throughout high school, I just kind of did spot stuff here and there. And then I've kind of gone on my own and done some other stuff. But yeah, just been doing it since.
How cool is it when you get to spend that time with your son?
It's been really fun. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't want to say I raised him right, but I think I raised him right. You know, people said, you know, what if your kid doesn't like sports like you do or whatever? I said, I think he's going to like sports. And he did. I took him to his first Ohio State football game when he was 5 years old. I was with my mom, and we had him along. He was 5 years old. It was the Marshall game.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that game. I think it might have been the opener. Mike Nugent kicked a 55-yard field goal to win the game.
They were beating us.
Yeah. We sat in south stands, and he sat. He had a seat, but, you know, there were people tall where he couldn't see. He ended up sitting on my knee, and he didn't move. And he was talking about the game and what was happening. He was getting fired up and yelling. And there were people around us like, how old is this your son? Yeah. How old is he? I said, he's five. He's unbelievable. And there were some couple of young guys. Man, when I have a kid, I want to bring the game. You know? But yeah, he's just been attached at the hip. And the broadcasting thing has been a gift. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, who are some of the guys that you know, all broadcasters have guys that we fall in love with, right? Mm-hmm. That was our guy and we emulate a little bit. Who are some of the guys that you loved growing up?
Well, locally up north, Marv Sebring was kind of the dean of Northwest Ohio. And he was the guy that did games at WONW in the six county area. Defiance, Fulton, Henry, Williams, Paulding, and Putnam, I think, are the six counties. He was a guy that I looked up to, and I listened to him when I was in junior high school and even high school. And then he hired me. I was flattered. I got to meet him, and we hit it off, and he made me one of his stringer reporters, which I thought that was a big deal, and I guess it kind of was.
It is, yeah.
So I enjoyed him. Dave Kleck up at WNDH, and Larry Christie, the late Larry Christie up at WMTR in Archbold. Those guys were good. And, of course, down here in Mack Country, you had Big Ralph Winery, WKKI, St. Mary's Salina, Rick Miller over at WDOH in Delphus, Mike Mullen here in Lima at WIMA. All of those guys. But going back further than that, I remember my mom and dad telling me, you need to get to bed. You got school in the morning. I had this little clock radio in my bed.
Yeah.
Little earpiece. Kenny's listening to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, they think I'm going to sleep, but I'm listening to these West Coast games.
To KMOX, Bob Costas, shortwave out of St. Louis. Yeah. People thought I was nuts.
Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey, you know, WJR, the Tiger games.
Yeah.
I listened to those guys, and I love that. I was always a big MLB guy, and that's how it kind of started for me. I was really into Major League Baseball when I was a kid, but then locally with the high school sports, those guys that I mentioned.
Brady, I'm sure your dad, huge influence on you, right? Tough not to steal some of his stuff because you're so used to hearing him all the time. And who are some of the guys that you looked up to other than your dad?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have radio announcer, you know, not only on the radio or sitting next to him, but then you have him in the kitchen and in the living room, you know, that's kind of tough. But you know, just going around with him, you know, and going to all these games and meeting guys, and then there would be guys that we would listen to, you know, on the drive home. Well, who's over here? So, you know, like he mentioned, Dave Kleck, Andy Briggle, you know, Aaron Matthews, you know, and all those guys. It's kind of been cool because those guys have all been mentors for me as well. And then, you know, the other one I would say is Paul Keels, you know.
The voice of God.
Obviously, yeah. Obviously listen to him a ton.
Well, that was a big Mike Mullen and John Barton when they used to do Lima Senior Games as a kid. I would listen to them all the time, and they were fantastic. But
it's funny when you say those names, it takes you back to moments, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm over here too.
At least I didn't point at you.
I'm done pointing.
Listen, you guys got a different, you know, you're got everybody, you know, we've talked about this a couple of different times, but, you know, our paths to what we're doing now have all been very different.
The paths
you guys have all taken are very different than the path I took to get here. You know, and you, Brady, you're younger than all of us, and it's a little bit of a different path as well. You know, where do you want to go with this? You know, I mean, you're still starting out, you're still young. You know, you've kind of had your foot in a lot of different things here, you know, pretty early into your career. I mean, what are the goals moving forward in all this?
Yeah, you know, I think just kind of seeing where it takes me. You know, I a lot of people were surprised when I was, you know, in high school. They're like, oh, you're going to school to be a broadcaster. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to, you know, I want to do something medical. Always wanted to do that, but I always loved the sports thing. So when I went to college, I was like, I'm probably not going to be able to do announcing anymore. And I just, like, I couldn't stay away. And you guys know how you are.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Once you're in it, and, like, that's just high school sports in general for me. Like, I just, basketball in particular, I couldn't stay away. And I just love, you know, it'd be fun to do bigger stuff, other sports and all that. But, like, for me, like, high school football, high school basketball, baseball, softball, like, those things here where we live, like, that's always going to be, like, number mm-hmm. one for me. So as long as I get to do that, I think I'll be happy and content there.
There's nothing worse than a Friday without a game to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting there. It's like, what do I do? Yeah.
Then my wife would be like, are we going out for dinner? Oh, I was going to listen to the game. I was going to listen to Miles and Nate. They got the game, the cool game. But Kenny, can I ask you what? And I know you've done hundreds and thousands of games, but do you have like a list of your all-time favorite calls or memories? And I know it's probably not fair, but I can think of some of my favorite ones, and they keep reminding me of the silly ones I've done. But do you have those memories that you can look back and go, that was the game?
Yeah, Danny, there's been so many great ones. I've been so blessed that we've covered so many great teams, you know, in our coverage area that we have at WKSD, you know, Lincolnview, Crestview State Championships. Wayne Trace, my alma mater, the second year I was broadcasting, they won the Division III State Championship, mm-hmm. you know, and I got to do that. But I tell this to, I've told this story over and over. He probably gets tired of hearing it. I have two children. Brady has an older sister, Libby, who's a pharmacist. Proud of them, very, very proud of them, obviously. My wife has done a great job. That's what I tell everybody. She's the reason that they are who they are. But Libby was a softball player at Wayne Trace, four-year starter. Her first 3 years in Division III, one and done, one and done, one and done. Senior year, Division IV, they get hot. They make it to the state Final Four. We go and broadcast that game at Firestone Stadium. They lose to Cuyahoga Heights, the team that won the state championship. They won a regional game 1-0 against a team from New Regal that they probably shouldn't have beat. Libby drove the run in with a double. That was exciting. But there we are calling that game, and Brady's with me, calling, doing color, and I'm doing play-by-play for his sister's Final Four game. Then Brady was fortunate enough to be part of a state Final Four team at Wayne Trace right. when he was a sophomore. They get there, and they play Harvest Prep. But he for him to be a part of that and for me being down there covering, you know, we did 30 straight years of doing all 12 games on our radio station for the state tournament. And when you cover so many other people's kids for so long, to have your own there. I got two kids. They both been to the Final Four, and I was there calling those games. Those are right there. You know, obviously the LeBron James games, the O.J. Mayo
sure,
games.
Yeah.
Wayne Trace had a football team. We haven't had nearly as much success in football as we have basketball. Basketball has been king, but Wayne Trace – played Kirtland in the state finals at Fawcett Stadium, Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, I think they call it now. That was surreal for me to go in that booth, and mm-hmm. my wife was with me that day in the booth. It was special for us. You know, I think about all the great broadcasters, the legendary broadcasters that have called games from there, and I got to do that. But, you know, anytime you go to St. John Arena or the Schottenstein Center or UD Arena, you know, the Stroh Center, you know, up at UT, at University of Toledo, Savage. Those are great venues and great memories. But to answer your question, I'm sorry for the long
answer.
No,
that's great. I'm sitting here watching you, and that voice is coming out, and I'm like, this is so just, cool for me. Like, this is like...
Well, there's just been so many. I mean, to narrow it down is just...
Impossible.
It's tough, yeah. But ones that are personal for me with my kids, those are right up there for sure.
What's the oddest sports you've been asked to broadcast?
I don't know if there's been anything. Nobody's asked me to do water skiing championships.
Miles done several parades.
Golf. Yeah. You know, really all I've done is football, boys and girls basketball. We've had volleyball, of course. And then when we have a team, usually when they get to the regional level or further, we do baseball and softball. So nothing odd, you know. No horseshoe pitching championships. Yet.
Brady, what about you? Do you like football, basketball? What's your favorite sport to call? And again, let me ask you, you've probably never been asked to do odd sports. And I don't mean odd in a bad way, you know. I remember I did the WBL Wrestling Championships a couple years ago, and it was a good experience for me because it did force me to learn to do a few things that I didn't think I could do.
Right, yeah. You know, I as far as most odd, I got asked to do wrestling this past year, and I actually turned it down because I was like, I don't know enough about wrestling to do it. So same with me, you know, I've just done basically the same sports he has, you know, baseball, softball, volleyball.
It's funny you should say wrestling, because when I had to do that wrestling tournament, it's a funny story. They had like 14 matches for the WBL championship, and like there was a pin in the first
period.
First period.
He did every one of them.
And
they've asked you back, right?
Yes, it was like an hour and a half. I was in and out of the building. I had a great collar guy that knew everything, and I just kept throwing questions at him. Yeah, it was awesome.
Listen, I've been in the same boat. I got asked. I think you got asked after I did for that WBL, because I turned it down because there are certain
there's
no one else left. You have to
There's certain audiences that you just can't fake it with, right? Like if you know some general terms and you know you're decent at talking, you can get yourself through certain things if you're in a pinch and you have to. There are certain sports you can't do that in. If you're watching high school wrestling, you know, on TV, you're watching that back, you clearly are very invested. You're not getting anything by those wrestling fans. No. And I was like, there's not a chance I'm going to go there and try to fake my way through that broadcast. Well, you guys will get so many letters. I'll never be back on WSN. It'll never happen.
You know, with music, and he was looking at the crowd. You know, like, oh, this is a different kind of wrestling. Yeah.
No chair shots?
No.
No offer friendship? Kick the groin? No, I get it. You could have just started the match and then wait to say, pin.
Like, the action speaks for itself.
Guys, all broadcasters, we either listen to someone and say, or we say, oh, I really like this guy, right? Pet peeves that you guys have in broadcasting? We all have it. Like, I can't stand when a guy goes crazy and loses his mind at the end.
Who does that?
I get invested in games. I've been reprimanded. I'll be honest.
I'm just teasing.
Anybody who peeks a microphone really gets under my skin.
Do you guys have any pet peeves?
Do you guys want a job next year? Because I would love to do a show with you two. Professionals.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I've got one. And I've always said this to me, and maybe I'm taking it a little too far. This is Sports Broadcasting 101. On the radio, thank God, I have a face for radio, of course, as everyone knows. You are painting a picture. Yeah. You know, it's not a screen where there's the ESPN logo in the top with the clock and the score and all that. Time and score.
Oh, right.
Who's playing? I can't tell you how many times I get in the car, turn on a game. Who's playing? How much time's left? What's the score? And I've been complimented that I do that a lot, and maybe I do it a little bit too much to a fault, but clock, if there's one involved, score, you know, and how much time's left. I try to do that over and over because I know people don't tune in from the beginning to the end. I mean, we constantly pick up listeners and people have to go do something or run somewhere. And, you know, people get into a car. That's what I say. Like when I get into a car to listen to a ball game, you know, I'm not there from the beginning to the end. But I want to know who's playing, what the score is, because I can't see it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I like that one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big – I think he's kind of – instilled that in me too. I kind of developed the same pet peeve. But another one that I've kind of noticed here more recently is like with my dad. I don't want to make his head too big, but the one thing about my dad, like in broadcasting, that I've noticed, like if he's taught me anything, it's that doing this is about like the kids and the school and the product you're putting out there, and it's not so much about yourself. And I think that's the one thing my dad has always done a great job of, is just kind of announcing the game, saying what's happening, still being invested and excited, but also staying out of the way and just letting the game and the action kind of call itself. And I think there's at times when it's easy for me to pick up on when guys are trying to make it kind of about them, you know, trying to hit you with catchphrase after catchphrase, or, you know, making big moments and kind of taking over.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if you just let the game play out and let the game call itself, then, you know, if a guy's overdoing it, it can kind of take away from the moment at times.
Shot at you, Danny.
Wow. Not at all.
Wow. Did you see how he's looking right at you when he said it?
Caught up in the game. I have to improve every day, every game I do. I get caught up in a game and I become fanboy. I try.
But it's easy to do.
But that's real emotion.
But I'm glad I got professionals here that can guide me along the way.
Listen, I just laugh at it. He says it.
No, there's the, you got to have the emotion. Like that's yeah. real emotion. You got to have that too.
Do you guys have any embarrassing moments, Kenny, over the years? What's the most embarrassing? Something you may have said or
like mispronounced like a word like right before you go on, like you know, like a big one like montage.
Well, one that comes to mind from the early years. I was just thinking about in the early years, we were up at Antwerp High School in their old gymnasium. You guys probably aren't even familiar with it. And, you know, sometimes you got to do in radio especially whatever it takes to get the game on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got there, and there was supposed to be a hot phone line. That was back in the day, the days when we used phone lines. Well, we got there. The phone line was as dead as a doorknob. And the regular board that we used to broadcast on was kind of malfunctioning, too. My color guy was like MacGyver at that time. He found there was a swimming pool. They had an indoor swimming pool, and in the little a little hallway there was a payphone, an old pay telephone.
Wow.
He probably would have got arrested if there had been a policeman there. He's unscrewing and taking apart this pay telephone and splicing our wires into the payphone. He did it. So and we got a dial tone. We were hot. We were good to go. Then our board wasn't acting quite right. We had a backup board, and they didn't really have a good spot for us to broadcast. We had a wooden school desk in about the second row of the bleachers, and I had this old board, backup board, that we never used unless it was an emergency, and this was an emergency. It looked like a radio out of a World War II airplane. This thing was big and bulky. It had a rotary dial phone, and we didn't have two microphones. So I turned this receiver upside down, covering my hand. And calling a game on a phone, an upside-down phone.
That's great.
And passing it back and forth to my color guy, who did the MacGyver work. And there's people in the gym. It's packed. They're like, what are those guys doing? You know, what are they doing? They're talking into an upside-down phone. What are they doing? But we got it all. We got the game all.
What's your thoughts on now that a lot of high schools have audiovisual clubs who are broadcasting games, a lot of internet guys are doing games, and I don't know, there's something romantic, and don't laugh at me, there's something romantic about the radio, you know, and doing games on that. And I don't think they're taking anything away from us, but I don't know. It's just, I like the radio guys.
Of course, I've got a soft spot for radio because that's where I'm at. But there are a lot of opportunities for young people that want to get into broadcasting now with all the streaming options out there. And when it first came out, I was one of those guys that was skeptical. I'm like, is this really going to catch on? You know, are people going to, you know, not everybody has a laptop or everybody has a cell phone on them, a smartphone. Everybody's got a cell phone with them now. You know, and I think more people probably listen to music and radio programming on their phones than they do Bose Wave radio or whatever you've got, the Sony or whatever you've got. You know, I know a lot of people don't have a radio in their house anymore. I mean, their radio is in their pocket with their camera, their tape recorder, and all their contacts.
Mine sits on the VCR.
Okay. That's most people nowadays.
I'm trying to catch up.
I see you don't have a flip phone. So good for you.
Yeah. Stepped up from the jitterbug. Right.
One of my favorite things are the relationships that you build during this, right? There's so many good people that are part of this. Like, I love seeing other broadcasters talking to you, seeing what game you had earlier in the week. We all share notes. But the relationships that you develop with coaches, some of the coaches that you guys have good relationships over the years that you kind of built with?
Don't leave anybody out.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. There's been so many of them. Right. We, that's the best part of this job, I tell everybody. Those relationships you make with officials, with school officials, with coaches, with the players, parents and grandparents. You know, when you've been doing it a long time, I'm into, I don't want to say how many generations, two at least. I'm probably knocking on the door of third generation somewhere. But that's the best part. And to answer your question on the coaching thing, man, we've had so many great ones. Al Welch at Wayne Trace, Ray Etzler at Crestview, Bob Segerson, Paul Wayne up at Holgate, Kirk Lehman at
Paul
Defiance,
Wayne,
Kevin Holmeyer at Continental, one of my all-time favorites, Dave Fralick when he was at Van Wert. And that reminds me, I didn't get it, when you asked me about the other broadcasters, we've got a guy right there at our radio station that does all the Van Wert games and has been doing them longer than me, Scott Allen. Okay. He's the voice of the Cougars.
Right.
And I've over the years, I've had opportunities to do games with him. So he's another guy that I look up to and respect a lot in this business. But Dick Kordekrax at Kaleida. I mean, I could go on and on Bob Arnson at St. John's. I've just been so lucky, you guys. It's been crazy.
Brady, what about you? Some of the coaches that you've had some good relationships with?
Well, the cool part for me is that a lot of coaches knew me growing up.
Yeah, right.
And then I played against them, and then now I'm back in it. And so I've gotten to know guys on a lot of different levels. But, you know, the guys at Crestview, you know, Jeremy Best and all of his assistants, you know, and Brett Hammonds at Lincoln View and Kevin Holmeyer at Continental, he mentioned, you know, and then obviously, you know, I do a lot of games in Pauling County, so the local coaches there, Sean Brewer was at Pauling, you know, I played against him. Doug Billman, I played against
Doug's
him.
Doug's the best, isn't he?
Yeah, Doug's great. Awesome. You know, and then obviously, you know, I played for Coach Linder and for Coach Welch at Wayne Trace. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. Mark Triplett's another guy, you know, that I get to catch up with a couple times a year, and he's such a good guy. So, I mean, it just, the list goes on and on, but that hands down is the coolest thing, you know, is just the people you meet.
Yeah, so for me, the big question, we all have our own whys, right? But why, right, for you guys? What's the why? Why get into this business? Why high school sports? What is it that drives you guys to start this career and then to stay in it? And because what a lot of people don't realize, it's not as easy as just showing up and talking. There's a lot of stuff that goes into these things. It takes a lot of time away. For you guys, it's been nice because, you know, family, you guys get to do it together. But there's a lot of things outside of just, you know, watching sports and seeing some good games from time to time. What is it that keeps you guys going in this business?
The love of the game, the youth, the kids, you know, that gets you fired up, that gets your juices flowing. My full-time job, I work for a company in Fort Wayne as an outside sales rep, and I travel Northwest Ohio, this area, Lima and North, you know, the Northwest portion of Ohio here. And many of my customers are coaches, officials. They have kids that play. They have grandkids that play. They have neighbor kids that play. And a lot of times before we get down to business, they want to rehash last Friday night or last Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's opened some doors up for me. But it's been just a great thing for me. But also, his mother, my wife, we've been together a long, long time. She's been with me throughout the whole thing. You talk about supportive. She's never complained once. We're coming up on 33 years of marriage, and she's never complained about it. She's given me up a lot of Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, she's probably happy.
Tuesdays,
I was
going to
say.
That's a break for her.
You're taking
no
Brady,
doubt,
right?
Yeah.
It's a party at home.
You take him every Friday and Saturday night. Nah, she doesn't play. And you haven't figured this out yet.
But
I don't want to be that news to you, but she's enjoying her life.
Can't you take Libby too?
We've never told him.
I hope so, because she's enabled me to do something I love for a long time. And she knows what it means to me. And one of these days I'm going to have to hang it up and start doing some things that she likes to do. But now she's been great.
That's awesome.
Guys, I have some rapid-fire questions for you, okay? We're all Buckeye fans here, huge Buckeye fans, all right? So first question for you, if you had to pick one Ohio State coach to definitely lose to Michigan, who would you pick? John Cooper or Ryan Day?
Come on, man.
He never John lets Cooper. It go. He never lets it rest. Yeah.
Cooper.
Cooper?
I'd say Cooper, even though I like Coop. He's a great guy. But, yeah John Cooper.
Yeah, we
Ryan
couple,
Day's been through so much.
A couple weeks ago, we had Tim May on. You know, much different world with the college football playoff with John Cooper, right? If they had it back then, John Cooper's held in a different regard. Yeah, probably a national title or two, right?
Yeah.
Good answers on that one. All right. How big of a party is it on New Year's Eve in downtown Haviland?
Depends on where you're at.
It's like the corn cob drop from the song.
You're going to be at the right place.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. One of my favorite things about Wayne Trace, the little dribbler guy, right? What do you call that kid that dribbles? With the
Raider guy.
The little Raider guy.
Man.
Okay. All right.
Little Raider man.
If they allowed adults to do it, would you guys want to do it?
I'd probably pass.
Really?
I don't know about him.
Yeah, I'd pass for
would
sure.
Would you really? Get the cool hat, though.
No. It's the all three. Right. It's a three-corner hat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right, what's the better nickname, Dr. Buckeye or Baby Snake?
Dr. Buckeye.
The first time I ever called you that, we had guys in the studio going, what's that mean? Kenny Stabler?
Kenny Stabler, right. Which concession stand has the best popcorn? I know this is a tough one, isn't it?
I like Paulding. Paulding's got caramel corn.
Their caramel
too.
Corn's amazing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Paulding's really good. I don't get these places as often, but Archbold and Tenora are both very good also. Good
caramel call. Corn at both those places.
Yeah, you're
too.
Right. Good call. Archbold's caramel corn just overtakes the whole gym.
Yeah.
You have to get it. It's amazing. Last one for you. How old was Brady when he started beating you and everything?
25.
No, it wasn't very long. We used to play a lot of golf together when he was junior high coming up. He played high school golf, and it didn't take long for him to be better than me.
Oh. You guys still compete?
I don't know. Occasionally,
he's better. I'm not going to compete.
We would, but
We're both competitive for sure.
About, we're kind of always competing, I think. I don't know.
Kenny, how long are you going to do this?
I don't know. A lot of people ask me that, Danny. I still enjoy it. I still feel good about it. When I have to start thinking about, I really don't want to go tonight, or this game's not going to be any good, I start stringing nights like that together, I think that'll be time right. for me, you know? Yeah. When you lose the passion, and I haven't lost the passion yet.
Well, you haven't been teamed up with Danny yet. So I mean.
It's coming. Yeah. I'll run you right out of the gym. Well, guys, we're going to talk some high school basketball and some college basketball. You want to stick around, hang out with us,
sure.
and talk about that stuff?
Let's do it.
The big news this week, guys, is Sean Foster has come out on social media, and he is moving on, going to a prep school next year. Guys, what's your thoughts about kids moving on from high schools to prep schools?
You want to start?
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I've been talking about this with a lot of people for a lot of big portion of this year. And my personal opinion is, with the landscape of college basketball changing the way that it's changing, not just NIL. I think NIL started some of this. But to me, the big catalyst for all of these changes was when they expanded your years of eligibility. And now, if you're a college coach who is relying on your livelihood, your job, everything is relying on these players that you're bringing mm-hmm. in. Why would you take a chance on unproven high school kids when you can go to a JUCO, find guys who have been there, have played at a different level, have proven that they can live away from home, right? They can handle a college mm-hmm. course load, all of these things. They're a little bit more mature, and you're going to get them. They still have 4 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more of a proven fact. So if you're a high school kid, and you're one of those top-tier guys, you're a five-star, you're being heavily recruited, I think that we're going to start seeing this more and more and more, because I think it's in their best interest. You go to these prep schools or these boarding schools, now you're living away from home, right? You're showing that you can handle a national schedule and handle a big atmosphere.
Prep for college.
Exactly. And you're showing college coaches, hey, see, I can also do this. I'm ready to take that step. You're going to put yourself in a bigger light. Short of these high school guys who could potentially go high school to NBA right now, and since that's not a thing, they got to go to college, I think that you're going to start seeing a lot of these other guys like Sean Foster, who is a highly recruited guy. Depending on what publication you look at, he's the number one recruit in Ohio, top 40 in the nation. For him, for the next 2 years, the best thing he can do is go and show that, hey, I can go play a national schedule. I can go and live this kind of college lifestyle, prove himself, and that way he'll get those high-level college programs yeah. maybe a little bit more interested. He already has D1 offers. They're going to continue to come in, but I think this gives him a better chance to as a little bit of a catalyst going into college.
Selfishly, I don't like it because we're not going to get to see him locally, right? We were going to watch him the next 2 years just flourish and be amazing. We're not going to get to see that now. I'm selfish about that. But, like, this has been going on in music and in tennis forever, right? Young kids mm-hmm. get an opportunity. Nobody cried out when there was a 14-year-old playing in the U.S. Open, right? Nobody complained right. about, you know, a savant being a great violin player at age 10. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about that. So, I mean, if it's an opportunity, you're talented enough and you have that door, might as well walk
yeah.
through it.
Yeah, and I don't think we know all the circumstances, obviously. I'm not going to judge the young man or his family. It's the decision they're making.
Absolutely.
And I support that 100%. Here's what I'll say, though. This isn't like he's going from an Upper Side of Valley or a Ridgemont or a Waynesville Goshen to a prep school. I fully believe he's going to get the same offers at Lima Senior that he would if he went to a prep school. And again, I don't have any issues with him going to prep school.
It's a high-profile school,
yeah,
too.
But,
also, yeah.
But we've also seen the Greg Simpsons and the Travis Waltons and the Xavier Simpsons. They're going Division I. They're going to playing at the biggest and best schools in the nation. So I don't know the whole circumstances. I don't think any of us will. But I hope he does terrific. He's a fabulous player, guys. He's a top 50 recruit. He's one of the best players in the country.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think he's going to do okay.
Well, Brady, how did you handle it when you were a sophomore and you had all these big schools coming at you from Wintrace?
Well, my agent.
Listen, I just don't think you could compare what's going on right now, not just with Sean Foster, with a bunch of kids all over the country, with guys like Greg Simpson and Xavier Simpson and Travis Walton and all these other high-profile guys that come out of Lima, because the landscape is just – it's
world.
Apples and oranges right now. You know, these guys going to these prep schools, Sean did get Division I offers being at Lima mm-hmm. Senior, but will the Duke, will the North Carolina – will the Blue Bloods show up?
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe. Maybe not. If you're those guys, I'm telling you, I just think college coaches, in my opinion, are going to get to a point where if they're investing money now in NIL, and it's their jobs and their livelihood. In my opinion, it makes more sense as a high-level college coach to go get the proven instead of the unproven.
Yeah, no, look, no issues with him going. No, I don't want anybody to take this wrong. His coach is an AAU guy on the circuit.
There's connections.
Quincy
there.
Simpson has sure. connections all over the country. Quincy Simpson has sent kids on to bigger and better schools. So they're going to find him, especially at Lima Senior in that division and what they do. And Lima Senior is a notable name. But again, that's his choice, and I hope the best for the young man.
It's so different for me personally. The world I live in, I'm covering kids in the GMC, the Northwest Conference, the Putnam County League, you know, the MAC, the NWOL. I don't see those type of athletes. But, you know, I keep up with what's going on, and I certainly wish those guys well, too. You know, it's just a different world when you think about it. I mean, I'm not surprised that it's reaching the high school level, you know, with the transfer portal and NIL, you know, with this type of thing going to the high school level now, it's not shocking to me.
What about as a father? All right, let's say Brady did have offers after a sophomore year. How would you approach that? How difficult as a family would that have been?
Well, it would be difficult because we come from a small school, and I think about how tight-knit we are and how happy we are where we've been. It would be hard to have him go somewhere like that. Selfishly, I would want him.
But that's a tough age, right? 17, 18. Yeah,
I don't know. We would have to do a lot of soul searching and thinking about that.
Luckily, I wasn't good enough.
You made it easy for us, man.
No, I'll tell you this though. Like when you're looking at it, like let's talk about NIL. Like you're talking about a decision that could have an impact of hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. So you know, if you have to go get that, then you can't fault a kid or a family for that. But I want to say this also. Going to a prep school is a lot different than a kid in the WBL going to another WBL school to me. Like this is a move to go for a clear path to your future. His future is basketball. He's putting that first and making that move. He's not just flipping schools just because.
Yep. Is it a good move for high school athletes?
To go to
if I'm a mid-major player on Lima Senior and I'm the seventh or eighth guy on the bench, and I think to myself, I want to go to Toledo, to Whitmer. I want to go somewhere else to, you know, further myself. But you know, is it a good move? I mean, because we're not talking
about the prep school move now. You're just talking about a lot of the transfers.
Yeah, I'm just that's where I'm going. Yeah, okay. Because guys, once these doors open up, you're going to see it a lot. I mean, we saw it. There's rumors all the time, but we saw it at the college. Once it opened up, Katie barred the door, and now here we go, high school. And I don't know yet. I really don't.
I think it's kind of a to be determined on that because what you're seeing is, and what I think, and guys aren't willing to stay and fight as much anymore. And that's basically what we're seeing in college.
Grass is always greener.
Guys come in, they're a 4 or 5 star recruit. They don't play right away. Hey, I'm out. I'm going over here. And then we see these guys where they're bouncing around 4 or 5 different schools. Are those guys ending up professionally where they want to be? I don't necessarily think so. I think guys we're seeing professionally maybe hit the portal once, you know, to make a move.
Well, look, I've never heard the wrath at the state tournaments like I've heard the last 4 years with the Richmond Heights. And we all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We all know what I'm talking about. That is exactly what's happening right now. We're seeing super teams build at the high school level, and they're just dominating. And we talked about it last year when Rushi's kids got beat by him again. And the whole thing was you got homegrown kids who have done it for 10, 12 years. You've got a team of kids who have played together for 2 years.
It's the NBA model, right? Get super teams together.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to caution kids about, right, if you stay at the school that you're at, you already know everything there, right? You're going to be the first option because you're really good. Let's say you go to a prep school. You know, you're not the only kid they're recruiting. All of a sudden, you don't fit real well, and you go from maybe a 20-point-a-game scorer at the school you're at to now you're maybe 6th, 7th man on the bench. Now where's your career at, right? Mm-hmm. That's a risk you
take.
That's
a great point.
I mean, I think the transfer stuff with high school, though, I think it's cyclical. I think this last month, I think we all have probably heard more names and rumors and speculation about movement than I've heard in any other year that I've been, you know, as involved in high school sports as I have been. And, you know, I don't know if there's a direct correlation. I don't know if there's just a lot of coincidences with that this year. But my only thing has always been, look, go where you want to go where you'd be happy. Just at the high school level, I think it gets dangerous when you start making decisions just based on athletics, right?
That's a really good point.
You're like, oh, I want to go there because
class is a go-to.
Yeah, like if you need to move schools for whatever reason, like an action, you know, whatever's going on, you know, with you personally, family, you move, do those things. You got to do what's best for you. But I think where things get real dangerous is if you have kids at any age, at any school, at any division, saying, no, we're going to go there because of this sport. And that's the only factor in the reason why you're leaving. Now, we're seeing that in some places. It is what it is. Everybody's got their own prerogative. Everybody can do what they want to do. I just think, you know, the OHSAA, they shifted that rule a couple of years ago because it used to be you sat out the first half. They didn't really see that deterring a lot of people, right? Because, like, well, that's fine. As long as we got who we need for the tournament run. Then they shifted it. Now it's the second half in any postseason. I feel like that has slowed some things down. Now when you see a lot of chance, you're not seeing the juniors and seniors doing it because they don't want to lose, you know, that year, that postseason year. You're seeing it in freshmen and sophomore who are doing it. Well, maybe this will help me my junior and senior year instead.
Do you remember that first come out and everybody was getting a mailing address in that district? You know, you didn't live there, but that's the mailing address you had. Yeah. And that's where the kids, where they said they got off the bus at. And we all,
So I hope that it doesn't become the norm where we just see kids moving for athletics and athletic only. I don't, at the high school level, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You got a lot of kids who are still developing, and there's just so many other things at high school level for it to be just a straight athletic thing. I just think can be dangerous.
Well, and I think that the real challenge now lies in these organizations like the OHSAA, and I even say the NCAA. They have to take a long look at this and say, you know, if this is truly bad for the game, but also bad for the kids, then we need to make this, you know, to where if you're going to transfer, maybe sitting the back half of a season isn't enough. Maybe you have to make it a little bit more and, you know, not so much encourage all this movement. Because even with the back half of the season thing, I've heard stories and rumors, there's some ways to get around that.
Oh, absolutely.
Too.
Oh, there is. There's exceptions. I think there's 11 exceptions that the OHS has that you can apply for. And if you do, then your eligibility will be, you know. And
the OHS doesn't want to fight.
Correct.
And I'll tell you this. The big one in the Toledo area is just say that you were bullied at the school you were leaving.
Yeah, that's one of the I've read the exceptions. Yeah. That is one of them.
I'm going to talk to Nick about
bullying
that.
And harassing is one.
I'm going to talk to Nick about that.
You feel bullied on this show, do you?
Thank God my friends are here tonight.
You're going to get a file report. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys, a couple weeks ago, I'm getting on my computer and I'm reading an article, and it said OHSA going back to the Final Four format. I was so excited, and we're texting back and forth, and then I read the article. And it is going back to the kind of format, but some of the semifinal games are going to be elsewhere. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I was really disappointed, obviously, when we went away from the Final Four format.
As we all were.
We all were. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I guess you got to give a little bit of credit to the OHSA for trying to fix things. You know, I guess you can't do it all at once, little by little, mm-hmm. and maybe this is a start for everything.
Well, why'd they mess up in the first place?
I know. I always thought the state. I always thought, for example, the state basketball tournament, boys and girls, was an event that couldn't be screwed up. How do you mess that up? You know, the thing I really felt bad for, and you guys all know this, I'm stating the obvious, but that Final Four experience, when you make it and your community makes it, you know, in the smaller schools, I'm thinking, you know, in the old four division format. Yeah. Division three and Division four, which that's what we cover on our radio station. For those communities to go and travel and, you know, play on a Thursday night or a Friday morning and then come back on Saturday, mm-hmm. or even if you get bumped off, you hang around for the rest of the weekend.
Right.
To take that away and to make it to the Final Four now and ride on a school bus and get beat. Brady and I ran into Jason Vermillion. You know, we asked
Arlington,
him. Yeah, in Arlington, we asked him, and before we could even finish the question, he had an answer for us.
Did it feel
like state semi? No, he said no.
That's been my thing from the very. When we talked about this a lot, especially during the basketball season. It took one or two oatmeal cream pies to calm me down more than once. But it's just day. I just don't understand how the OHSAA they made something so great less than. And that was you unfathomable to think of, and somehow that didn't seem like they didn't think that was what was going to happen. I love this move. Now, with seven divisions, you can't have it all at this. Time doesn't work
just
like
play 24
that.
24 hours.
Yeah. 21 games.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, time just doesn't work that way. They're going to have to spread it out. But I do think that the attempt, because they said they're going to have some semis at UD too. So they're going to hold as many games as possible at UD. They're going to have to farm a couple out. But at least it's still all right there. Right, you can go back to making it of a weekend. You can go back of keeping the teams there, and it can be. It's an event again, in my opinion, and I think that I don't think you're ever going to fully fix it at this point when we're seven divisions. Because again, time just doesn't work that way. Unless you start state semis on a Tuesday,
I'm good with that,
and go through.
I'll go every game. Yeah,
you know, you're going to have to. You know, if you're trying to condense this into a 4-day thing. You know, it's going to have to be farmed out a little bit. But at least it didn't take 2 or 3 years. At least they didn't dig their heels in.
Oh,
the OHSAA,
yeah,
you know, didn't try to say, no, we're right, which we've seen them do sometimes when everybody else is like, no, this is wrong. They were like, okay, we've heard everybody. We're willing to make a concession here. Let's go back. You got to give them credit for that because they're not known for always, you know, being the most workable or change their minds.
I think what fixes it, you go 8 or 9 or maybe even 10 divisions. What do you guys think? Brady, as an athlete that got to participate in it, how special is that?
It's awesome. It's awesome. And Nate made a really good point there because that's the thing. Like, I think as high school basketball fans, the community has to get over the seven divisions thing because it's here and it's here to stay.
Yeah,
and I was willing to give it a year. And I thought there were some good things from it. I thought there were some things I didn't like. The biggest thing that I didn't like everyone else, was, you know, the state weekend being broken up. You can't do it all at one venue, or you wouldn't. If you extend it out another day, then what you're going to have is teams going back and forth, not staying the night. So, again, it's not going to be the same experience for the kids. So that's the biggest thing. Like you said, the OHSAA clearly is listening. They were willing to try this new thing, and we'll see from there, you know. But the one thing about the state tournament that is gone now, like it or not, we saw attendance slowly dwindling. Mm-hmm. I went to my first state tournament in 2005, and O.J. Mayo was there, John Diebler was there.
Yeah.
Huge crowds, right? I mean, even at the Schottenstein Center, huge crowds. And then it was a few years later, I remember when it was a big deal when the crowd didn't crack 10,000. And then it was, you get a couple games at 10,000, and it was just slowly down, down, down. Well, now you get it the weekend back, you get it all in one place, and you get more teams coming in. But with two separate venues, people are going to have to pick and choose. So the days of the big crowds are completely over.
That's a really good
point. For all
point.
Kids. I mean, having the total sell, like, UD Arena is never going to, like, you're never going to see 10,000 for a state game.
No. So the guys that I go with, we've been going for 30-some years, and it's the same group of guys. We're not going to go to a game at UD, get in our car and ride over to Wright State to watch a game, come back to you. We're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me the most, is you're going to have semifinal crowds of 2,000 and 3,000. I think. I mean, I thought the crowds this year were better than I thought. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised at some of the crowds. But we said it after the tournament was over. I hope they really look at this, and I think the OHSA did that. They looked at this and they're trying to fix it. And let's just, you know, hope they can go from there. So, guys, a couple of coaches over your way at Wayne Trace have stepped down. Jimmy Linder and Bethany Desjardins are stepping down as the head coaches. What's their legacy over there, guys?
I mean, you know, I think for Jim, you know, Coach Linder, he continued a legacy that was built before him. You know,
absolutely.
Al Welch.
Yeah. You never want to follow the guy.
Over,
and he did a great job of it, right?
Over 500 wins. And, you know, everyone thought when Coach Welch left that, you know, things were going to go downhill for a while talent-wise. And then in Jim's, I think his second year, he took a team to the regionals then, you know, and obviously had a state Final Four team and, you know, several conference championships. So he just kind of continued that legacy. The one for me, you know, Coach Desjardins, been around a lot of coaches, a lot of programs, a lot of practices. I thought she did as good a job as anyone I've seen on the girls' side in particular. She's just was fantastic. Loved the way she ran her program. Thought she got the most out of kids. Did a lot of team bonding stuff that I thought was really good. I mean, she worked. Her girls had to play hard. They practiced hard, and you could tell in the way that they played. But what she was able to do on the girls' side was really build something that hadn't been there before. She had a great coach before her and Gus Davis that had really started some things at Wayne Trace and had some momentum going, a couple of really good teams. But then, you know, Bethany was able to take that even a step farther and really, you know, win several conference championships, took a team to the regional finals as far as any team's been at Wayne Trace. So, you know, I, obviously big shoes to fill there for both coaches.
How many years ago was it where they her team had the Hulk Hogan doll that they'd carry into the gym with
yeah,
them? That's
yeah.
when I knew she was a heck of a coach. That's
what it took. Forget the wins and losses. Coach Jimmy Linder, I know you know him really well. And,
we grew up together. Yeah. I mean, he was great ahead of me. He had a late birthday. We got to play a lot of baseball together because he got to play down with us. But known him forever, a friend, his kids, his family, his wife, all friends of our family. He and Ethan, you know, went to school together forever, including college, each other's weddings, all that stuff. So we know the Linders well. What Brady said, I mean, Brady played for him. He knows as well as anyone. Jim did a good job of carrying on what Al Welch mm-hmm. had and tried to keep it going. And so, I mean, I wish him well in his retirement. And he's stepping down as AD also. Mm-hmm. And Bethany Desjardins, you know, I covered her as a player. I think she's done great things, just like Brady said, with the girls program as well. And she'll be missed. And, you know, they've got a lot coming back next year. Whoever takes that job over is going to have a real good, a solid girls Raider team. And they'll have to do some work to keep that going. I think the key, especially small school basketball, is the youth. Keep everybody fired up, you know, right. those lower levels. And I think that's going to be the challenge for the new boys coach and girls coach at Wayne Trace, to keep that tradition going, keep that fire going.
Tons of applicants, I'm sure.
Are we hearing any rumors? I'm going to break the news. You're on Three Wise Men.
I haven't heard any. I mean, Brady, have you? I mean, I
haven't heard much.
I mean, who wants to follow that, right? I mean, yeah. Coach Linder following Coach Welch would have been.
And did a great job.
You know, you always want to go into a job either as the first so you can build your own thing, or you want to follow a train wreck. The last thing you want to do is go in after a Hall of Fame all-time coach.
And another
because
Hall of
Famer. Then all you do have to listen to, well, this person would have done like this. This is what he did.
The guy could win 400 games and he's still behind Linder. Like,
and so, you know, what I think is a little bit of a shame with both of their legacies is, you know, obviously you guys know them really well. I know that, Miles, you are very well familiar with them from your time over there. But when you start coming this way, right, I don't think that they get their due or their proper respect for how good they really were. Honestly, until the announcement was made, I didn't realize how good Bethany was at what she did and how many games she really had won and what she had built over there. 200 games in, what, 11 years?
Yeah.
12
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
And, you know, she took over for somebody who had set the record for the most wins in the program over there. So when you start reading the things that they're saying, I thought Coach Linder, when I read an article, they interviewed him, and, you know, for him, I think what spoke to me more about what I think really showed you what he was as a coach was, you know, he said he was a retire, rehire. He was stepping, you know, he wasn't going to be AD anymore, so he wasn't going to be building every day. And he couldn't not be in the building every day and also be the coach that he wanted to be. Like he just said, you know, you just know when your time, and that felt like it was time. And a lot of coaches wouldn't do that, right? They'd be like, I can still do this. He still had plenty of years that he could have if he wanted to coach. But what he did over there, I mean, 15 GMC titles between the two of them. The fact that Wayne Trace is losing both of them at the same time, it will be very – now, I'm sure they said this when Coach Welch left as well, but it will be very, very hard for Wayne Trace to ever replicate the success that these two had in the same era. I mean, people over there, I think in 10 or 15 years are going to look back and go, that was the pinnacle, even in a basketball-rich program – having the guys and the girls program that successful absolutely. At the same time, you know, that was some of our best teams. Even, you know, I mean, they had a lot of success early, obviously, but, you know, it's very rare that you get programs for long stretches as successful as Wayne Trace had when those two were at the helm of those teams.
Hey, imagine being the new AD, having to hire both those guys.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah. Wow.
I'll tell you the other thing, you know, about Wayne Trace in particular, talking about these coaches that Wayne Trace has had, you know, Gus Davis and Bethany on the girls' side and, you know, Coach Linder and Coach Welch on the boys' side, they both did it for so long. You know, all four of those names, they did it for an extended period of time. Right. That itself in high school sports is becoming
it's
a thing
rare.
Absolutely.
You're not having that anymore. Yep. And so I think that's the biggest challenge. You want your program to have long-term success like mm-hmm. that, like Wayne Trace has had. You know, having a coach that is willing to stay that long.
Miles and I were talking about that tonight after our broadcast on the radio. I said, Miles, it doesn't matter how good a coach you are. you can win 400, 500, 600 games, and there's still people there's in the district that don't like you.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I never
yeah.
understood that. You, yeah. You'll see coaches putting multiple kids at the next level, helping kids with academics, yeah. being a good family member, building homes in the community, and there'll be still a segment that don't like you. And I never have understood that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – it's a different time.
We could go down a real rabbit hole and say, you know, there aren't going to be guys like Bob Arnes and Dick Quartercrax, Al Welch, Bob Segerson anymore. I mean, and why is
tough
that?
Tough to navigate.
Why is that? I think we could throw a few things out on the table and say why.
Could. Well, I mean, coach burnout's also a thing. And, you know, back then, I'm not saying coaches aren't respected now, because they are, but there's a different level of scrutiny. And at a certain point, you're just like, you know what? These aren't battles I can fight anymore. I'm tired. I got my own kids. I'm raising other kids. And I think the other part, too, is that, you know, I don't want it to get glossed over with these guys is what makes, I think, what they did special and Wayne Trey special is you're also talking about two coaches that they didn't come from somewhere. They didn't go and find these. They went to Wayne Trace. They stayed at Wayne Trace. Absolutely.
Yeah. Guys, let's talk a little Buckeye basketball. The Buckeyes just landed a transfer from Baylor, Josh Ogiewunda. I think I got it right, didn't I, Matt?
Yeah, you did, actually. Yeah, nice
and,
job.
And they also got assistant coach Brian Walsh. What do you guys think of the offseason for Jake Diebler and the Buckeyes?
I think it's been solid. Here's where I'm at with Ohio State basketball, okay?
I love this kid.
Because we've seen this for a few years in a row. Last year, Ohio State gets 2 5-star transfer portal players, and then you go out and don't make the tournament again. So how can these guys fit? How can Coach Diebler make them work? How can the locker room come together? And, I mean, can you make it over the hump and get in the NCAA tournament? That's what it's going to be this year for Coach Diebler. If he wants to have another year, I think he has to make it to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I still think it boils down to Devin Royal. I think it boils down to the guys, the big three on the team, Bruce Thornton. Yeah. I think it still boils down to those guys, right?
Yeah, it's a prove-it year for Coach Diebler, no doubt. I'm really anxious to see how this young man from Baylor, how he fits in, you know. Definitely need a post presence for sure.
Well, you watch him, and he's impressive when you watch him on film. Now, I noticed he only had 7 and 7, but when you watch him, he's very athletic. He's a lob guy that can dunk. He's got a nice little baby hook. But can he TikTok dance, Danny? That's the big thing, right?
We got Gabe Cups now. Yeah, so he's
gonna,
a lot of TikTok.
Is he
going to
TikTok with Gabe? That's what
listen,
I'm
here's
about.
The issue that I'm having with it is this is – third or fourth straight year where I feel like this is the conversation we're having around this program, which is, well, if this guy does this, if this guy does this, if this guy, we're spending way too much time hoping that these guys will do certain things and it has to all fall into place for this program to take that next step. But what next? We're not a mid-major. We're not, you know, a small-time D1. It's Ohio State. There shouldn't be, okay, we have to take this next step. I mean, God love Jake Diebler. And I liked, and I know we're going to talk about it next, I liked the fact that he sat down, talked to a camera, and talked to the fan base. I liked that. Ooh, however, I did. But he's like, we need to take a big step. There shouldn't be these big steps that this program should have to take. It should be just about building on what we have and continuing this tradition. You know, we're talking about this kid from Baylor. We may not know.
Wait, what's his name?
I don't know.
Try it.
But listen, here's the thing, guys. We may not know for quite some time because we brought this guy in. He still has to recover from that ACL.
He does. Yeah.
He's not going to be ready maybe beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Maybe you get him back, and then, you know, he's still going to be limited. You're hoping that you get what you want out of him into February going into the tournament, right? But he's not going to be, you know, this effective powerhouse as he's coming back. You're talking about a big guy with a lot of weight and a lot of strength and a lot of muscle on a repaired ACL. These aren't the type of transfers.
He's been injured many times.
And these aren't the type of transfers that I feel like we should be like, oh, okay, now we're back. Like, again, if he's healthy, if his knee holds up, if he bounces back, he would have the ability to help us out.
Do you think he's learned, though? Because, like Brady said, went high-profile guys in the portal last year. Didn't work, right? Maybe it didn't mesh in the locker room. Now he's getting guys that are kind of grinders, work-hard guys that are going to fit around the three big guys that we have returning, building around those
you
guys.
Now, hold on. You argued this point with me, I think it was last week, when I said, good, he learned that we don't have to get somebody from Kentucky and Duke to be good.
I
argued with me. Now you're trying to use it as a point against
me? I'm saying we're Ohio State. We we shouldn't do this. But I'm saying, is this what Diebler is trying to do now? Because I think we're Ohio State. We go get five stars everywhere.
I think, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I think that he's just learned it's better to go get the fit than the name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go find somebody you think is going to fit into your program, that's going to be a good locker room person, that's not going to cause you a lot of extra headaches, because he's got a short leash. He's got to get this right. Yeah. If he has another bad year, I don't think he's going to get a third.
Well, the legit D5 we got was D'Angelo Russell, and that was 12 years ago.
Yeah, wow. D'Angelo can score. Well,
I've been on this for a couple years, and I think you guys have probably heard me say this, but I think as Ohio State football and basketball fans, we're a little bit spoiled. We have a need, and we think, oh, just go out and get a guy like the football team. Go get the best player in the country.
We should.
And the basketball team, we should. The basketball team, it doesn't work like that, and the whole college NCAA Division I landscape doesn't work like that. The last two or three years since NIL became big, if you pull up, like, end of the season top 25 football schools, top 25 basketball schools in terms of just like AP rankings,
yeah, right,
there's not a lot of crossover there.
No, Tennessee and Auburn are anomalies. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you almost have to pick one or the other, it seems like. Now, you think Ohio State's big enough and, you know, AD's talking big, like they can do both. Time will tell here, but it's got to happen fast.
I want to go back to the point we talked about when Jake Diebler came out and addressed the public.
Straight to the X thing. Yeah.
I just felt like it reeked of desperation.
I did not see that. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay. Brandon, did you like it?
I think I like Jake Diebler. I think he's a great guy. I've had him on the show. He's a fair guy. I think he is a great assistant coach that can recruit guys. I think he's, if it was me, I think he's one coach away from being the head coach. And you know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. I think he should have got somebody else and maybe sat there for 5 or 6 years and then did it. I think he's in over his head right now. I want him to succeed. Nobody wants him to succeed more than I do. I live and die Buckeye basketball. But I'm watching too many Big Ten games where late in games he's getting out-coached. And I don't mean that. It's fast.
Well, there's too many meltdowns, right?
Yeah.
10-point leads disappear in the last six minutes.
And I just don't think you can win Big Ten titles or national titles with Bruce Thornton. Yeah. I think Bruce Thornton's a good player. He's not a great player.
I think we'll get him into the tournament
and get that corner turned.
I mean, maybe that's the ceiling. Maybe that's where the basketball team needs to be.
It needs to be the next step, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I have a friend that says all the time that Ohio State is not the job for first-time head coaches. He wasn't a Ryan Day guy, and he wasn't a Jake Diebler guy. And I think there is some truth to that in some ways.
I talked to a coach that went to a couple practices, and he was very disappointed in what he saw and what he saw from some of the players, what he saw from the interactions with coaches, what they did. And, he's a coach that I respect a great deal. And he just said, it's not going to work. Now, I hope it's wrong. I want him to succeed. But you didn't like it too well, did you, the social media?
Depends. I mean, I like the idea that he wanted to get a message to the fans. I don't like the fact that he didn't trust to go to the media to have a press conference to do that, right? Does he not trust the media? Why do you have to go straight on X? And it's kind of – it was kind of corny, right?
Kind of?
Sitting on a couch, talking to.
He's exactly right.
Well, he even messed up a couple times on his responses, and it's him asking himself questions. So, it just kind of felt
We'd never see Knight or Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams or
they
Dean
don't know
Smith.
How to work a cell phone.
What are you talking about? That's why.
We would have never.
Bob Knight would. I would pay money to watch Bob Knight try to work a cell phone.
Oh, that would have been great. But the biggest thing I had about it is it wasn't authentic, because he glossed over the fact, why didn't we participate in the Crown Tournament?
That
right?
one, that's the only that is the only
that
thing that's
me, right?
bothered me.
Right.
In that
just
whole
just
thing.
Come out and say, look, we were too busy recruiting our own guys. Because we didn't know who was going to be back. We didn't have enough.
Because you also wouldn't have not gone to the NCAA tournament. So you can't use that excuse if we all know you wouldn't have turned down a bid to the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
So trying to say, well, we just need to do this. No, you didn't. You just decided you didn't want to. You guys were done.
Yeah, we were trying to keep kids.
Like, that one, I really didn't have a problem with it. You know what? Look, if you want to sit down and you want to deliver this message, you have some things you feel like you got to get off your chest. You haven't really heard a ton from him, honestly, through all of this. I don't have any issues with it, right? Get your message out. Say whatever. that was really the only part where I was like, are we really talking about this again? You lose me in that moment because I don't think you're being honest. None of us believe you. Okay, not a single fan believes you. So stop and just say we didn't want to go.
How long though before we just get rid of press conferences and they just sit in front of a phone, right, with your SID?
Well, let's do this. Let me ask you guys. Look around the table. 3 years from now, is Jake Diebler the head coach at Ohio State?
Ooh. I don't think so.
Wow, I do. I think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, my husband's Jake.
He's on the island.
I am. I just
I
really
love you,
don't.
Jake.
Because I don't think we're going to take a big step. I don't think that you're going to see this gigantic move forward this year. And I don't think he's not going to get the same treatment that we've seen past coaches get, where they get years and years and years. Ross isn't going to give him that. I think he got the job because of the early success he had. They felt like they needed to keep that team together. It may have cost them because now you're watching – you know, another team take the coach that everybody thought should go to Ohio State and do nothing but turn a program around and win. Yeah. And that's not a great look if you're struggling and being Jake Diebler. Yeah.
So don't forget about question number one.
Yeah. God. I can't do that today. All right, guys, let's talk about
you know what? Ask him because I need other people's opinion. And if whatever, and if I get mad and I throw the entire box, I throw the whole
let's
box.
Let's talk Buckeye football. Ryan Day still has not named a starting quarterback, and Miles put LOL in there, just teasing Nate.
It's not a tease. He hasn't named him.
Yeah, you might want to get him.
Listen, right. Here's my whole thing. We've been having this argument since last August, when the week of game one. We still hadn't named a quarterback.
Low blood sugar.
You had went and you had got in the portal and you had brought in, Will Howard, from Kansas State. You had watched Kyle McCord leave. Will Howard was the starting quarterback. Just name him the starting quarterback. Let's have the number one. You don't need all of this cloak and dagger, like acting like you don't actually know and it's an open competition. These guys are like, you got to do that so you keep your quarterbacks, people, and they don't transfer.
You do.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's the name of the
but
game.
But it doesn't matter. Nobody believed it. Even the quarterbacks in the room didn't think this is an open competition. Name the quarterback, have your starter, and move on. Yeah. Right now, he knows who his number one quarterback is. Name him. And let's go.
Julian Sain.
Why are we going to wait?
He wants to keep
again
Lincoln Keenholz in
a season that I
think Saint Clair as his backup.
And it in a season where you have to replace so much on the offense, as much continuity as you can have early, I think is vitally important. So stop all the gameplay, stop all this stupid stuff, and just name your starting quarterback.
I got news for you. Ryan Day watches the show, and this is the only reason why he does not name the starter.
last year when Miles and I said, let's do it our way, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
All right. We won a national championship.
We got the natty.
We kept all the quarterbacks
that's
in the
That's literally
room.
The only argument they have.
No, it's
oh,
not.
We won a natty with
it's
it.
Not.
With that's, the greatest team that money can
you need?
Yeah. That with the greatest
kept,
team money can buy.
We all the quarterbacks in the room? You guys agree. You have to keep
first
guys
of all, don't
hanging
tell them
on.
They agree and answered.
No, they have wait to.
All right, let's hear it from them. Would you guys agree with the smart people in the room?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think, okay? I don't know that I agree with anybody.
You know what? I'd take that over you agreeing with them.
Next week on the show, Brady, can you agree?
I think the guys in the room, in the Woody, I think they know who it's going to be. I think it's going to be Julian Sain. I think it's pretty clear. I think the guys in there know that. I also think there's something to Day not coming out and saying who it is because I think he wants that guy. I think it just forces the quarterback to be a little bit more of a leader and maybe win over the locker room a little bit more. I think that's the only thing. Keeping guys there, that may play a role as well. I bet Lincoln Keenholz knows that he's not going to be the starter. I feel fairly confident in saying that. I think Sain is aware that he's going to be the guy. I think everybody probably knows it. Now maybe he's sticking around because Day keeps kind of prolonging it. I don't know. It's Ohio State. There's going to be guys in the room, so I can see.
And you're Ohio State. If Keenholz's going to leave because in May or June you say, "Hey, Sain's our guy, and we're going to roll through the summer with him. We're coming into summer workouts. He's getting all the reps. We'll get, you know, you got to prepare as a backup, but we want you to prepare as a starter because you never know. Sain could tear a knee in tomorrow, but he is our guy." And I forgot what I was going to say. But either way, I'm so angry right now. My blood pressure is so high. If you want him to take – if you want a leadership role, then name your leader. Name your leader.
Leaders step forward, though.
Right, but yeah. If yeah, whatever you you know what I can't do this. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not. I'm,
I know what you're doing, and I'm not gonna let you do it.
We do nope, it every week.
I'm not gonna let you do it. I'm not gonna let you do
he
it.
He hasn't named a starting tailback yet. You're not mad because Peoples and Donaldson are.
You're right. It's not the most important position on the field.
Who's the starting left guard?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, you're not. Mad
not
about
the
that.
Most should important position on the field.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Who's the long snapper?
Nope. I'm not. You're not gonna. I'm not doing it.
Would you name the starting quarterback early?
I'm gonna tell you. I think Sand's the guy too. I kind of like Nate what he says. I say name the guy too. What you know? Come on. But on the flip side of that, what does it, you know? If we name the starter, what do we have to talk about? What do Buckeye fans and argue about? You know?
But that's not Texas.
I do follow you. I mean, name the guy. Yeah, say it.
And what's wrong?
Don't
with
be afraid to say it.
And what's wrong with having a quarterback who's a starter more than 1 year? Why do we got to have this revolving door? Saying you're the quarterback, you're our guy.
He'll be there next
and
listen,
oh, I know what I was going to say when I forgot. My point is if Kienholz is going to leave because you named Sane the starter, then you don't want him a part of Ohio State football anyway, because he's not there for the brand. And Ohio State is a brand right now. That it is what it is. So if you're there and you're not willing to fight for that job, you're not willing to go through those hard times, why do you want that to be the quarterback of your team anyway, potentially?
But on the flip side,
you need another Devin Brown.
But on the flip side, you say that, and I can tell you that Lincoln Kienholz in his mind is thinking, I can beat this guy.
Great.
He's an absolute competitor. So what's Ryan Day telling him? You're in this thing till the end. I'm not naming a starter.
He's the greatest quarterback from South
I don't know if you guys know.
Dakota.
Listen, you guys are right. You're right. Backup quarterbacks are a brand new position that just got invented. Every team has always had one starter. We just started this phenomenon of having quarterbacks in multiple quarterbacks on a team who have been named backups and a guy that's clearly out in front. You're right. My fault. I apologize.
Thank you.
Backup quarterback positions are a brand new thing. I forgot. I forgot it just came about in like 2020.
You're watching the two.
It was a COVID thing. I forgot it was a COVID thing. Come on.
You know, Lincoln Kienholz is the new Devin Brown is all he is. Because last year everyone was saying if Will Howard went down, we want Julian Sain. Nobody wanted Devin Brown.
We saw enough.
We knew that.
It's going to be the same thing this year, though. If something would happen to Sain, people are going
to
want Sain.
And the worst thing that's happened to Kienholz is, you know, was the bowl game.
Which wasn't fair.
And that's unfortunate for him, but that's everybody's impression of him as a quarterback.
There's a lot of circumstances we can't talk about.
I'm just saying that is the national and majority fan base perception of him.
Yeah.
Whether it's his fault or not is not the argument. That's just what we saw, and everybody's like, nope, that's not the quarterback.
Do you think Texas is starting Arch Manning?
I bet they name him.
They haven't named him yet. They haven't named him yet.
I bet they name him.
All right, guys, let's name your top five Ohio State football players of all time.
Well, with the caveat, because I think everybody would say Archie Griffin would be number one, right?
Not allowed to use Arch.
So not allowed to use Arch. We're not allowed to use Arch.
And my five, when I got this question, my five are – They're great players, but they're more favorites than their all-time greats. They're all-time greats, but they're also favorites.
All right, so you have Russell Martin on your list.
He's my favorite catcher of all time. Yeah. Can I start with mine, or do we want to start with the guys?
Oh, well, it's your show, Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you like, Mr. Holbrook.
Thank you. That black screen just goes across there. I'm going to go with the guy that treated me the worst of any professional athlete in the history of when I had my meeting with him. Chris Carter.
Chris Carter was awful to me.
The worst human being on the planet. But, man, the guy could catch football. And that's all I did was catch touchdowns. Ask Buddy Ryan.
His last year there was amazing.
Yeah, but Chris Carter was amazing. I'll go to my grave thinking Justin Fields is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in a scarlet and gray uniform.
Wow.
Talent-wise, arms. I love C.J.
Without Stroud, Kobe, he probably was the Heisman.
I love the guy. I think he was incredible for what he had to come in and deal with. The greatest cover corner we've ever seen at Ohio State, Sean Springs. It's not even close.
Ty Street says, hold my
– He slipped. One of my favorite guys that just went to go to play football was Andy Katzenmoyer. Andy Katzenmoyer,
the
big cat. The hit on Colby Jones of Missouri is one of the greatest Buckeye hits ever. And then Mr. Electric, he scores a touchdown against Florida, breaks his foot, and Teddy. Ted Ginn.
Yeah. I thought he's on Brady's list.
Every time Ted Ginn touched the ball, you're like – Yeah, it was. It was. Those are my five.
Roy Hall had
guys.
A great hit on him in the national title game, didn't he? Breaks his ankle. Do we have to hold our numbers up as we do it, like you?
Yes.
Do we? Oh, okay. All right.
Is there nothing you will not critique me about? Is there nothing you
number
will not
one.
Critique me about? Yes. I'm just high fiving Kenny over here. You can't see
that's
it.
All he's doing.
Yeah, that's all I was doing.
Kenny, you want to go next?
Yeah. Orlando Pace. Yeah, for sure. Oh, my goodness. Unanimous All-American, I think, two straight years. Chris Spielman, who I thought was an animal linebacker. Chris Carter's on that list also.
He's not a nice guy.
I know that. Maybe just to you. Maybe Chuch Jarbrail's great. Maybe
it was me, Butch Reynolds, and Chris Carter. And Butch Reynolds was so nice. And Chris Carter was,
Maybe he looked at you and said, I'm going to be a receiver coach at Ohio State someday, and this guy won't play for me. Maybe that's what it was.
Could be. Because you could look at me and tell I was going to play receiver at Ohio State.
I will go with Troy Smith. He won a Heisman, but he was a Michigan Slayer. That's what
he
I
was.
Love.
Yep.
And I'm torn on number five. I got like an A and a B. Ted Ginn, definitely. Anytime he touched the ball, he had a chance to take it the distance. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And a guy who was before my time, I never saw him. I don't remember him playing for the Buckeyes, but I remember him playing for the Oakland Raiders. How can you be named Kenny Stabler and not talk about the assassin, Jack Tatum?
Jack Tatum, good call on that one.
And I thought I was going to get away with nobody saying that one on my list.
That was six, so I would have to eliminate one of those guys.
Tatum was nasty. Yeah.
Man, you imagine him with targeting and everything the way it is. I mean, that guy, he started out as a running back at OSU, and then went to safety, and he laid it on.
Single-handedly beat Purdue when they were number one in the nation. Yeah, it was unbelievable that day.
So, yeah, it's always hard when you get a question like this because it's like, is it my favorite? Is it the greatest? So, yeah. So I went with the greatest or best, okay? So number one, I think, is Orlando Pace. I think if you look at Ohio State football as a whole, like, he is the single greatest football player to play at Ohio State, just dominant at his position. They say he's one of the best linemen ever in the NFL. A lot of guys say that. So I would say Pace number one. Number two, I would say probably Eddie George. They say he was the best pure running back. So I had Eddie on there. Troy Smith is on mine also. Won the Heisman, but he also kind of, I feel like he was on that turn, a big part of that turn of Ohio State football where it went from, you know, Tressel took over, and then we were just beating Michigan, and then Troy kind of took the program nationally.
Justice Wick was the quarterback. Troy Smith came out of nowhere.
And then I would say Chris Spielman also. I would put him on there at four. I think he's top two or top three all time in tackles. Number five, this is going to be premature, but I think looking at this in 10 years, it won't be that crazy. I'm going to say Caleb Downs.
I was going to walk off the stage if you said Will Howard. I was prepared to leave.
I'm going to say Caleb Downs. He, in my lifetime, is the best Ohio State defensive player I've seen in the last 20 years. Wow. I think he's the most talented guy on that side of the football.
Were you old enough to remember Mike Doss?
Caleb's down big thing, and I think you're right. It's not because I think he's a great safety, but the way he impacts the run game, is just incredible.
Doesn't miss tackles.
You don't see that out of a secondary player very often.
Yeah.
I thought it was great when he returned the punt last year. Why are we not doing this every day?
He's
incredible.
There that day when against Indiana, I think you said it was like the loudest you've ever seen Ohio Stadium at that moment.
It was up there.
Yeah,
it was up there. Yeah.
I remember talking about that on the radio.
It was wild. It was up there.
Pretty cool. Do you want to go or do you want me to?
I'll go. Sure? Most of them have been hit on.
Will Howard.
It is absolutely not. Yeah. So I had Troy Smith on mine as well. I mean, I think every time somebody says the name Troy Smith or I think of Troy Smith, the image that goes directly in my brain is the game against Michigan, his Heisman Trophy year, when he rolls out right around the 50. It's his Heisman moment, right, when he chucks it down for the touchdown against Michigan. It's a beautiful play. Orlando's pace.
When he rolls left? Comes out of the pocket.
He rolls up.
Yeah, that's Penn State.
Or is it Penn State? I thought it was Michigan.
No. Right.
Whatever. Either way, I see
the
play.
He had the one to Gonzo against Michigan.
Orlando Pace, I agree with that. I think that'll be a pick for everybody. I had Jack Tatum on my list. And then I went back and forth on the final two. And since they haven't been set, I'm going to go – I had Eddie George. I'm going to take him out. And I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott.
That's a good one. 85 yards.
That 2014 season doesn't happen without him. Him in the playoffs. Yeah.
Or 15 doesn't happen if we give him the ball.
Against Michigan State, yeah.
And then a name – it's a little bit of a wild card. But, with how the NFL draft went and all this hype, Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter was cool. Chris Gamble.
Chris Gamble.
Yeah. Chris Gamble.
What a big piece of that.
Yes.
Oh,
same team. Yeah.
I never disappointed.
You don't
need a big play. He came through.
And you don't hear his name enough, but I mean, he was a true two-way player. Yeah. He was impactful on both really sides good. Of the football. I mean, he was Travis Hunter before there was a Travis Hunter.
Nate, I got to go with Biggie Townsend when he was at Lima Senior on his official visit to Ohio State, and we got to meet Chris Gamble. That was so cool. Yeah.
Wow. That's a great list, by the way. Not as good as mine, but it's
still
good.
All right, fair enough.
Chris Spielman, he's still making tackles against Iowa in 1980. Yeah. 85. I mean, what do you have, 29 that day, still making more. Yeah. Troy Smith, everybody talks about that game up in Ann Arbor, but don't forget the year before down in Columbus, we weren't that good of a football team, and he single-handedly just destroyed Michigan running the football that day. Orlando Pace, mm-hmm. right? Why is his number not retired at Ohio Stadium?
Oh, I know.
Right? Seriously, why is he not?
It doesn't make sense.
He's unbelievable, the greatest offensive lineman ever. Keith Byers, what's wrong with you people? Why is Keith Byers not on your list, right?
He dropped his shoe.
Can't keep his shoe on.
That's right. Missed two games, should have won the Heisman. Donald Trump, please, executive order, correcting the fact that he did not win the Heisman in 84.
That's what we need, another executive order.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes.
He was a monster.
He was unbelievable. Really good. Doug Flutie throws one pass against Miami, and he wins the Heisman, and Keith Byers doesn't get it. Keith Byers was
Gerald
amazing.
Gerald Phelan got the ball.
And then, guys that you forget about this guy, without him, Buckeye football isn't where it is today. Chick Harley. You go back and you study Chick Harley and what he did for Ohio State football. I know it's an old name, but Buckeye football, he was the first superstar at Ohio State. Chick Harley, without him, Buckeye football's not it.
Didn't you and Mark Schein go to a couple of his games?
This is where you break out your newsy voice. Yeah. Chick Harley for another
touchdown. nobody else had Sean Springs on their list. He was the greatest cover corner we've ever seen.
I loved him, but Ty Streets.
One play.
Ty Streets.
Didn't Chris Carter bail on Ohio State his senior
year? Signed with an agent.
Yeah. That was a really good team. That was,
Can't make my list.
I cried.
No. No, Danny likes cheaters, though.
I like Bobby Olive.
We had so many great receivers.
I know, right?
To pick one. But Carter was so good. He was so good.
All started with Mike Lanise.
Yeah, that's when it started. Doug Donnelly, Gary Williams, 79 Rose Bowl. I know it's too old for you.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Fellas, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys very much. Been a lot of fun.
Yeah, come back and see us next year.
We'll do.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, let's talk about who your Staley superstar and Staley sensational team of the week is.
Danny, I got to go back to the hurdles at our PCL championship, and we've seen this young man a couple times now, Garrett Trentman over from Ottaville.
He's so good.
Nate, and you love hurdles. You love track. It's like the hurdles aren't even in front of him.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. He was so impressive. Every time we watch him run, he wins, just no doubt about it. I mean, he just destroys the field. He was fantastic at it. And then my team of the week for the Staley Sensational Team of the Week, it's got to be a co because they both won the PCL championship out of Columbus Groves Boys and Girls Track Program. The point totals that they had in that
205.
It was ridiculous. They were so impressive. So they are the Staley Sensational Teams of the Week for me.
For me, I'm going to a sport that I don't think I've ever talked about here in 36 episodes, and I'm going to talk tennis. The Elida boys tennis team, they were first in the WBL tournaments, their first WBL title since 2008.
Whoa.
They swept all five titles during the tournament. First singles title went to Ben Osman. Second singles went to Jaden Newman. Third singles titles went to Eben Jackson. First doubles went to Leighton Staley and Baylor Altenbach. And second doubles went to Tanner Lehman and Carson Wright. So they went in, they absolutely dominated
sure
the
did.
Western Buckeye League tournament. So congratulations to them. An absolute great accomplishment for those guys.
Eben Jackson, the basketball player. Yeah. Could you imagine him at the net with those giant long arms?
It clearly worked out for
sure
him. And then for my Staley superstar of the week, I'm going back to Izzy Zahn. When you're setting state records and you're running times like that, it's too hard to ignore.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Guys, I'm going with a familiar name that we've talked about a lot. She's been on this show, Lauren Ockmoody, this week for Columbus Grove Girls. She goes 12-3 in the pole vault. What was more impressive? She runs the 300 hurdles for the first time ever at the PCL championship and gets second.
Almost won it.
Almost wins it. And it was just another day in the park for this young lady.
Of course.
Yeah. She's unbelievable. Of course. And I'm going again with the teams of the week here, Columbus Grove Girls and Boys. Guys, you're talking about two teams that I think you're going to win regional titles. Mm-hmm. And if you win regional titles, you guys know, yep. you just got to get a few people at state to win a state title. State titles are won with 40, 50, 60 points, not right, your yep. normal 120, right. 100, or not, excuse yeah. me, 210 like Grove does. But if you can put a few people at state, man, you got a shot. Grove's got a shot.
This guy knows about winning
oh,
state.
Oh, he does. He yep. does.
And listen, yeah. I'll tell you, I think winning regional titles are more difficult than any other championship that you'll win when it comes to track. Because at that point, at a district, you can win because you can still load up. You have mm-hmm. a lot of people who don't end up qualifying for regionals, but you have that depth. At state, you can win a state title with three or four people. Yep. Waynesfield got a state runner-up with two girls,
no, right? True.
The Horn Sisters. So you can win titles in those team titles in yep. those two. At regionals, it's different because it's only the top four out of districts qualify. You don't if you have enough depth at a regional meet to win yourself a championship, you have really accomplished something. Mm. I can tell you the year that we won state, the regional championship, we won regionals that year. We defeated Minster, and I'm telling you, I think I hold that regional championship a little bit higher than that state title.
Yeah, who at this table's daughter won four regional titles?
You got a daughter? I didn't know that.
Oh, wait. I forgot. Danny's daughter ran track.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did she stop at high school? Or did
she went to college.
Yeah. Oh, she did?
Let's just be thankful.
Why don't you ever tell us this
stuff? I know,
stuff?
Right?
Be thankful yeah. that she got Julie's athletic ability.
No yeah. kidding.
Right, right. What was your record in football in high school?
Doesn't matter. Guys, this is the last show of the year. Memories we want to bring
just
up.
Just because of that reason?
Yeah. It's been a great season, Danny.
You heard him so much with that Julie comment.
I've been crushed. Memories of this year, guys, 37 episodes. It's been a blast. Favorite times?
Down at the state tournament in basketball. I really enjoyed that with you guys. Yeah. And just every single week. What goes on off camera is just so much fun. We generally have a great time.
Yeah. And honestly, it was both of mine the same thing. You know, I thought the region or the state tournament, being able to go down there, the three of us, you know, doing a little bit of a wrap up and preview for some of those games, just being able to be down there and watch those. And we had the whole crew down there with us. And that was just a lot of fun. And like you said, just coming in here every week, we have great guests, getting to know some of these athletes and the coaches and the media people just on a different level than what we do at games or when we're interviewing them. We spend time off camera talking to them, and it's been I knew it was going to be a good time doing it when you guys asked me to come and join you guys. I will be forever grateful that you guys have included me in this. But I didn't realize it was going to be this much fun. I don't think any of us realized how long this would go for even this year. And now, you know, knowing that we're going to be back for season two just makes it that much more exciting.
It started out as a podcast. I mean, none of us thought
we know. That's why you're over there where the camera catches you, because it was radio.
I am going to miss making Nate nervous every week on what kind of things we have planned.
No, that's my favorite part. All the bits.
I'm gonna miss bringing you guys along and watching
thanks,
your growth.
Thanks, Danny.
Watching your growth.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks, I owe you, Mr. Holbrook.
Thanks, Mister.
Season one is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in the fall again here on the Three Wise Men.